Opening new areas for heli-skiing is back on the Haines Assembly agenda, and an author brings stories of ancient Alaska lands to the Upper Lynn Canal. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Tara Bicknell, filling in for Margaret Friedenauer. Those stories and more up next. Heli-skiers might get their special event yet. The Haynesboro Assembly on Wednesday night voted to reconsider a decision made the previous night to not temporarily open new land for heli-skiing, meaning they'll vote on it again. But this time, the resolution looks much different. The next vote, scheduled for March 25th's regular assembly meeting, is for opening only one of the three proposed areas for an approximate 1 month of helicopter skiing. The assembly is considering opening only the 2,200 acres east of Four Winds Mountain near Mosquito Lake Road for the dates of March 21st through April 10th, rather than the full 10,000 acres that included land across Chilkat Inlet. And that is part of the reason why at least one of the two heli-ski companies that were vying for the heli-ski photo contest event has already backed out.
After, you know, the previous decision of not adding any areas, I think we generally lost momentum.
Scott Sundberg from Southeast Alaska Backcountry Adventures, or SEBA, responded to the assembly with a letter on Thursday after learning about the decision, saying they're pulling out of the competition, noting they were more interested in the two town parcels that were under consideration on Tuesday.
We're not giving up on special events, but this one seems to have just kind of floundered in process, and we're hopeful it would have been a little easier and a little more streamlined to just give a few areas for a little while and then take them back out of the map, but it apparently it's harder than that.
Assemblyman Dave Barry asked for the reconsideration Tuesday night.
I remember we had that economic conference, and I got up there and spouted off that we need economic opportunities. And then the first chance I get after that, I vote no. Partly because I did not really pay attention to Section 21.
The doubt about the vote cast Tuesday night began Wednesday morning when Barry had a visit from his great uncle and a friend he had hunted with since age 6.
And I showed him the maps and I said, where are the go problems? They all agreed that Sections 8 and 9 and 1 and 2 have issues with bears, goats, and transient animals. They all told me that Section 21, goats, aren't there now. They're in the river flats of Faraby.
Although heli-ski companies SEBA and Alaska Heli-Ski originally made the request for the special event, they were not present at the meeting where the reconsideration came up. Neither were any of the members of the public who spoke to the issue when it was on the table the night before. That was the big reason why the reconsideration vote hasn't already happened. Although the public is invited, as always, to attend borough assembly meetings, interim manager Julie Causey clarified there may not be a specific opportunity for public comment to a reconsidered vote. However, public comment is always on the agenda before and after the meetings.
Just procedurally, the public definitely took their opportunity to speak.
Assembly members were divided on whether it was necessary to hold up the vote for two more weeks to have the public in attendance, but in the end decided to postpone the decision until there could be public notice and potential attendance at the next regular meeting.
Assembly Member Lapp is correct. There's been hours of public comment. Assembly Member Barry, in our recess, was able to get educated more and able to impart more information to us. We've already heard testimony that there's concern that there's not enough time for the organizations to advertise this.
I think that this would be an egregious step for us to take to, at this point, have a vote on this without a public comment period. We will be perceived by the public as being disingenuous.
The resolution was originally heard earlier this week when dozens of people spoke during public comment, including residents of Klukwan concerned about the goat population there and hunters arguing the validity of goat research, among many other points of view. At Tuesday's regular Haines Assembly meeting, the Assembly not only turned down that resolution for the special event, but also authorized a one-year heliport at Chilkat Lake Road. That ultimate vote was also a reconsideration of a first vote that went the other way. The meeting was forced into recess at midnight and continued Tuesday evening. The resolution that would temporarily open the rural area east of Four Winds for a heli-ski event is, at this point, scheduled for a reconsideration vote at the next regular Haines Assembly meeting, March 25th, 6:30 p.m. The Haines Assembly also approved an ordinance authorizing the use of all-terrain vehicles on streets and highways within the borough and allowing use of snow machines on highway shoulders within the borough. In discussion, the Assembly voiced concern about safety, liability, and compliance involved with approving such an ordinance and adopted amendments suggested by the police department that would address some concerns. They also removed the requirement to have a permit to remove snow with an ATV. The new law, adopted unanimously, doesn't change things much for snow machiners, but opens new options for four-wheeler and quad drivers. Assemblyman Jerry Lapp proposed the ordinance, saying it could even help protect the borough since people are already using ATVs on several borough roads.
I don't see this as you're going to see a whole bunch of people jump on ATVs and start going up and down the street. I see it as you're going to see some people that want to just, you know, go maybe run an errand over to the neighbor or something like this here.
Assemblyman George Campbell, an ATV and snow machine user himself, envisioned a more affordable mode of travel now available to residents.
As far as traffic conflicts, let's just pretend we get 100 people driving ATVs in a day. That's 100 less cars. Think about this. You know, I mean, that's kind of the way I think people will use these maybe in lieu of their automobiles. So I think as far as traffic conflicts, again, it's not the tool, I believe, it's the users.
A similar ordinance was turned down by the Borough Assembly in the fall of 2011 after the Haines Police Department at the time helped write the ordinance but then discouraged its adoption, citing safety hazards and the inconvenient discontinuity of borough roads. The ordinance that passed this week has the support of the police department. Police Chief Musser thought through the issues of enforcement and safety with the borough, comparing the situation to enforcing motorcycle laws.
So on the enforcement end of it, I think we can make it work. We will enforce where it's necessary and all. And in terms of the safety, probably the biggest thing is in terms of enforcement is making sure that parents are aware that their children do need to be of age, they need to be licensed.
The ordinance became effective upon adoption. ATV or snow machine operators must be at least 16 years of age, carry an Alaska driver's license, proof of insurance and proper permitting, drive under 25 miles per hour, stay off sidewalk or pedestrian ways, and must comply with other traffic laws that pertain to full-size motor vehicles. Full information will be available from the borough, including maps of legal roadways under the new law. What would happen if Alaska was cut off from society overnight?
Alaskans and Alaska used to be so self-reliant, but we're not anymore. We're relying on the outside world.
Don Reardon is the author of The Raven's Gift, a book described as a gripping post-apocalyptic nightmare that also tells a story that is not too far from the imagination for a lot of Alaskans.
And we really couldn't survive unless we had some of that knowledge that used to be here and is still here in pockets. And that was an important kind of piece that I was trying to work into this novel.
Called The Master of the Cliffhanger by the Wall Street Journal, Reardon will be in Haines on Friday for a reading and book signing at the library. He's a professor at the University of Alaska. He's Alaska-grown, coming from villages on the Kuskokwim and graduating from high school in Bethel. And that's where a lot of his favorite stories that influence his work come from.
I was so enamored by the stories and the ghosts and the monsters. And, you know, we lived in your standard haunted schoolhouse, and at the same time, I could look across the river there. We were in Akyak, and there were some of the remnants of an old village there that at the time I didn't know. They had probably been abandoned because of the epidemics. And
he started writing when he was a kid and grew up to author screenplays and other creative works, and even went back to teach at the school he graduated from.
Even through high school there, we were doing radio. We had crazy radio shows that we were doing and skits on local TV, and so I was just a part of kind of that creative world. That was kind of my way of staying out of trouble in a small town that has plenty of trouble to offer.
And eventually he published his first book last year, Raven's Gift.
It's my debut novel. It took a while, though. It's been published everywhere in the U.S. initially. It was really crazy. Long story for it to get to the U.S., but it started in Canada and then Australia, New Zealand, France, and then finally the U.S.
Since then, the book has seen high circulation locally, according to the Haines Library, where Don will be speaking and signing books on Friday. The event is hosted by Friends of the Library and the 49 Writers Group, with other libraries from around Alaska joining in online.
It would never be where it's at had it not been for Alaskans who just really believed in the book or were haunted by it or, you know, touched by some piece of it where, actually, to be honest, I was scared. I didn't know how Alaskans would react, especially people from home. You know, there's I'm addressing some of the issues that rural Alaska is facing, and some of those aren't all that pleasing at times, and so I was worried about that. But people from home have been supportive, and Alaska's been Alaska, of course. You know, just it is that small town state, really.
The Washington Post called The Raven's Gift a blend of hunter-hunted suspense of Jeffrey Household's Rogue Mail, the post-apocalyptic bleakness of Cormac McCarthy's The Road, and the haunting mysteriousness of The X-Files. It deals with themes Alaskans value, like subsistence lifestyles and independence.
So I hope those themes kind of resonate, and if anything, the theme I want people to just remember is, you know, we need to think about our kids and what we're teaching them, and also just relish the relationships that we have and cherish those and tell those people that we have around us we actually love them, in case, you know, so we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. And I think that's a key idea that I try to just share too.
Don Reardon is the Alaskan author of The Raven's Gift. He'll be at the Haynesboro Public Library Friday, March 14th for a book reading and signing, 4 to 6 p.m. In for Margaret Friedenauer, I'm Tara Bicknell for KHNS News.